and from San Diego.
My name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here tonight. I don't usually dress like this, but it's good to get the opportunity to come talk to you guys. My sobriety date's March 20th, 2012. I have a lot more experience in pain and drinking than I do in sobriety. And, tried to get sober a lot of different times, a lot of different ways. My train of circumstances or trail of consequences started at an early age. I couldn't act right at school, so on and so forth. I had a fear, and that main fear was that I just wanted you to like me. You know, I just wanted the people around me to like me. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be looked at as good, whatever it was. And so I acted accordingly. And I know that the first time I took a drink, I wanted to, the sensation I got, I wanted to feel like that all the time. And I did that. I ended up getting kicked out of high school. I ended up going to 9 high schools. It was not because the family moved. I just could not follow the rules, and I put that above everything. You know, I will trade anything good and decent for the feeling and the relief that booze gave me. And so I did that, you know. And I saw the look of pain and fear in my parents' eyes a lot, and those around me. You know, I have 2 brothers. And my sophomore year of high school, my older brother got drafted to the Detroit Tigers. And at that time, I was probably at my 3rd high school. And, and I had been playing baseball my whole life up until that point, and potentially had something working for me. But, you know, I couldn't, I mean, just booze had control of me from the start, I think. And the consequences and the pain inside of me weren't great enough to even have a desire to stop at that point. Fast forward, I ended up graduating from high school, and, you know, I start getting arrested. And this is just my personal story. You know, I don't guess that everybody in here has been arrested, gone to jail, prison, things like that. I just could not stop drinking. I drink in public. I do strange, tragic things. And I end up behind bars and behind the wheel of a car, so on and so forth. And, so I started experiencing pain on a little bit deeper level, being alone at night, out in the cold type things. And, but I didn't, even that, it's like I still wanted to drink. I didn't want the help that was being offered to me from age 16, which is when I was first introduced to the rooms. You know, after I got kicked out of school the first time, it was mandated I come see you guys and get a slip signed. And, I started going to these places, jails, started getting DUIs, and at age 26, I really wanted to stop drinking, and my dad had found out that I had been stealing thousands of dollars from his credit card, for over a couple year period of time, and I was sitting in his car crying, and he gave me 2 options. He said, I'm either going to press charges or you can accept help. And I honestly didn't care at that point. I was ready to go get some help. And sorry about jingling my keys around front row, people. And I was just crying. I was beaten. I was hopeless. I truly felt that. And I ended up going to Florida because apparently my insurance covered me to go out there. And stayed sober for a little period of time through a detox facility and halfway houses, and got a job at a water taxi thing in Fort Lauderdale, and got a sponsor. Called him the next day. He didn't pick up the phone, and I figured, you know what? I had started writing some poetry at the time, so I figured I didn't need him. You know, I felt really good. You know, when I get physically sober for any period of time, I feel really good. And so that was the case. But what happened was I did not stay sober, and I got nothing against poetry. It just, that did not That did not keep me sober. So I ended up getting kicked out of my halfway house and arrested with some pills and stuff on some train tracks out there and back in jail. And, you know, and it's awesome. Like, my dad had planned to come see me with his girlfriend, and he didn't know that when he came out there, he had planned it long before. He didn't know that when he got out there, I would be in jail. He didn't plan it when I was already in jail. But so that visit was him talking to me through glass, and that's happened several times. But, you know, I truly wanted to stop, but I couldn't. You know, that was probably the first time I really remember that, you know, that desperation. And so kind of years progress. I'm 30 years old now, and I got sober when I was 28, almost a couple years ago. Pain, desperation has been there, you know, but I've never done anything. You know, you guys talk about the steps. You guys have the steps and traditions hanging on the wall. I hear speakers talk about it. I truly believe that your lives have changed as a result of doing some work in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I never do them because God and the steps in a book, I mean, really, what does that sound like, you know, to somebody who has no experience with that? You know, I can just judge that from afar. You guys can have that, you know, maybe this poetry will work for me, or maybe, you know, maybe just living off the high of going to a meeting and seeing you happy people is going to keep me sober. So, you know, the term meeting makers make it, I don't believe that. I need to get in here and do some work, which my job history was terrible coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and my sponsor had me putting in an application a day. And like I said, I mean, my job history was terrible. I got a job at McDonald's, and it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. You know, 5 days sober, and I'm working. A couple weeks go by, and I get a schedule for my next week, and it has 40 hours on it. You know, I wasn't doing anything special. You know, I was just showing up to work, shaved. You know, with my uniform on, like they asked me to do. They gave me 40 hours. And it was the first time in my life. Things like that are a big deal to a guy, you know, that has just done nothing with his life prior to that. Nothing good that I've said or that I've done since I've been sober has come from my own mind or my own thinking either. I mean, I have to be able to take direction. I have to do uncomfortable, inconvenient things if I want to stay sober. You know, if I want to experience the type of freedom guys talk about in here, you know, and if I want to live happy and be free, my problems today are unrelated to booze and dope. They're just unrelated to it. I do not think about it. You know, it's not an option. And life's really good. I've got to watch my older brother get married, have a baby. You know, I get to be a part of my family's life. And you know, I'm employed at a different place now. Like, you know, life's good. Got a beautiful girlfriend, moved out. I'm trying to practice the traditions of my life, you know, become fully self-supporting. 30 years old, you know, I finally moved out of dad's house. You know, just life's good, and it's as a result of seeking God. I don't need to find God or understand God. I mean, this is just my experience, is that I'm told to seek, you know. So I hit my knees, and I do a third set prayer in the morning. I hit my knees at night, do a seventh set prayer. And I'm not saying that's right or that's the exact format, but that's what my sponsor asked me to do, you know, and I take direction. My life's changed, you know, and I've stayed sober for a period of time. And, you know, thanks for asking me to come talk.